We bid you very welcome today as we meet around God's Word. We've been glad that you've been able to tune in, and we pray that we will know the Lord's blessing and His help as we meet together even today. I would like to introduce myself for those of you who do not know me. My name is Reuben Morrow. I'm from our Auchnacloy congregation, and I'm a licentiate of the Whitfield College of the Bible. Can I encourage you also to tune in, to join with us this evening as we meet around God's Word again in our gospel service. Please invite others to join in also, and please feel free to share the Word and perhaps even start a watch party as we will be live on Facebook again this evening. Can I ask you please to turn with me in God's Word to the book of Exodus, the book of Exodus. And we're turning this morning to chapter 15. I'm sure many of you will know that this is the song of Moses and the children of Israel. They sing praise to the Lord, even for deliverance out of the land of Egypt and from the hand of the captor. Exodus chapter 15. And we're beginning our reading at verse 1, and we're reading through to the end of verse 21. Exodus 15, and the first verse, and the word of God says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestinian. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. The inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them, and by the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell, in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. The horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered, saying, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he thrown into the sea." Amen. We do know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own inspired word. And I ask you please to bow with me in prayer, to seek the Lord's face as we come together, that we would know his help, his undertaking, his blessing, even upon us this day as we come around his word. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thee another Lord's Day, and we give thee thanks for the return of the Sabbath. Lord, we give thee thanks for that day, that 1 in 7, when we can rest from the things of life. And Lord, when we can gather together even in such a fashion as this, and Lord, we can focus upon thy so great salvation, thy love towards us, thy tenderness, thy care, thy mercy. Lord, we praise thee for Christ, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and our Lord, the one who humbled himself and took on the form of a man, who went willingly to Calvary's cross, living a life of perfect obedience to the will of God the Father. There on Calvary's cross, he laid down his life. He shed his precious blood to make atonement for sins. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee that the way of salvation was opened, that way of reconciliation back to God, for sin had separated man from God. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee that thou hadst the way, thou hadst the plan. And Lord, we thank thee for that precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We thank thee for our dear Redeemer and our Lord. But Lord, we praise thee that Christ did not remain on that cross. Praise God, there is victory over death, that he ever lives to intercede for his children at the Father's right hand. And so, Lord, it is today that we come in and through that precious name of our Saviour. Lord, we come and we pray that thou wouldst even join with us at this time. Lord, our circumstances are somewhat unusual, but Lord, we pray that even in our own homes that we would know thy presence and thy help. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give help to preacher and hearer alike. O Lord, this preacher can do nothing of himself. Lord, we need thy help. We need thy undertaking. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we long to be filled. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst take thy word, and Lord, that thou wouldst apply it to the hearts and lives of those that would be listening in. O Lord, we pray this day that there would be a word in season for each one of us. O Lord, we pray that we would hear thy voice speaking to us. O blessed Holy Spirit, come and move amongst us. Well, that would be a word of a challenge, a word of rebuke, a word of encouragement. O Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, we pray that we would receive it gladly. Lord, we do pray especially for those that are perhaps listening in and as of yet they have not trusted Christ as their Saviour and their Lord. Lord, we pray that even this day that thou wouldst come and move in saving power. O Lord, that thou wouldst redeem them by thy grace and by thy mercy. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst draw them unto thyself. O Lord, we pray for any that are cold of heart. O Lord, as we will even consider the song of Moses this day, Lord, we pray that you would put thy song anew and afresh in their heart today. Lord, that thou wouldst restore unto them the years that the locusts have eaten. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art married to the backslider. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come and restore today. Lord, bless thy people. Lord, we pray for those that are laid aside at this time through one illness or another. Lord, we pray that thy hand will be upon them and that thou wouldst raise them again to full health and strength. Bless this congregation even during this time of lockdown. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst encourage them and lead them and guide them for thy name's sake. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst shut us in with thyself. Lord, we pray that all that would be said and done would be to thy glory and to thy honour alone. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. This morning I want to look at this wonderful passage that we have in God's Word, that passage that describes in such detail the deliverance of the children of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. For many, many years, God's people had been subject to the inhumane treatment of the Egyptian pharaohs. Or if we were to turn back to the beginning of Exodus and to the first chapter, there in verse 8 we would read, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more than mightier than we." Verse 13, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage." We are all familiar, I'm sure, with the account of Moses, saved from death as a child, raised in the palace of Pharaoh, fleeing to the wilderness, meeting with the Lord at the burning bush, and returning to Egypt to lead the Hebrew people to the promised land. As Moses sought leave for the children of Israel to worship, we see the constant hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And so, after 9 plagues, the Lord institutes the Passover, the shedding of the blood of the lamb, and with the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians, God's people are released to go and worship the Lord. Their flight takes them toward the Red Sea, and as Pharaoh realizes what he has done, well, he changes his mind and he starts to pursue them with all his forces and with all his might. But the Lord comes and he stands between his people and the enemy. The people approach the Red Sea and they don't know where to go. They look behind them and the enemy is coming fast behind. And they cry out to Moses. But we read in Exodus 14 and verse 19, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." Oh yes, the Lord comes and he intervenes in power. And there he separates the host of Pharaoh from his people. And he overshadows them with his protection. The Lord commands his servant Moses to stretch forth the rod that is in his hand and to part the sea. And there he makes a way for his children to safely pass over. So, as they come again to solid ground, the Lord closes the sea upon the pursuing enemy. This brings us to the passage before us. And here we have the first recorded song in Scripture. It is the song of Moses and the children of Israel as they rejoice in the marvelous work of the Lord. Oh, it is interesting to note that there is no mention in this song of Moses. It is not merely a piece of poetry written by Israel about Moses' leadership in God's work of redemption. No, this is a song about the Lord their God. Its contents are about the Lord. Its context is about the Lord. Its focus is on the Lord. And its reason is founded in the Lord. It is God-centered. And its thrust and goal are to honour the Lord and bring glory to his name. Friends, today I would like to examine some aspects of this great song with you, because I believe that there are many great lessons that we can learn from it. I want us to notice that throughout these verses that we have read, and especially verses 1 to 19, here we have a song of redemption. A song of redemption. And so this morning, as we look at this song, I want you to consider with me, firstly, a problem overcome. Problem overcome. Time and again we read in the previous chapters how Pharaoh hardened his heart as the Lord brought the plagues upon the land. The people were held in great bondage, a bondage which seemed impossible to escape from. No matter how they tried, no matter how the Lord moved, still Pharaoh would not let his people go. But the Lord had a plan. Oh, the Lord had a purpose in all the plagues that went before. But the Lord knew the way that lay ahead. And through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb and its bread on the doorpost, the Lord put a blanket, a covering of protection, a covering of blood over his people. And the firstborn of the Egyptians were slain. Well, the cry went up, the lament went up, and Pharaoh said, "Let this people go." And so they leave. They leave the land of Egypt and they head towards the Red Sea. Yet Pharaoh, in his anger, turns and he gives chase. In verse 9 of chapter 15, we read the thoughts and the words of Pharaoh. The enemy said, "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them." Oh, here is a man who in his fury and his wrath seeks to obliterate God's people. But dear friend, it is important to note. It is important to note that when God sets the captive free, he is free indeed. And those who are free, those who are kept by the Lord, those who are released from the bondage of sin and brought into the Father's care, they will never be plucked from his hand. Dear friend, dear unsaved friend, the Lord is able to save you from whatever situation you are in. Dear believer, whatever predicament you find yourself in this morning, our God is able. Nothing is too hard for him. If we were to turn back to chapter 14 and the verses 10 through 12, turn with me, chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. And there we read, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away today in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." My dear friend, do you feel today that there is something in your life, some situation that is causing you great anxiety, great fear? Well, we sing those words, "Step out on the promise, get under the blood." Is this not what the Lord asked the children of Israel to do that Passover night? To step out on the promise of his word and to get under the blood. Oh, the enemy will do his best to pursue us, even attempt to overtake us as the Egyptians sought to do. But it was the Lord who had led them out. Remember, it was the Lord who went before them as they made their exodus from Egypt. For he knew the way to the promised land. But it was also he who in the pillar of cloud came between them, allowing Moses to part the sea and lead the people forth. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, we read, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee." In this psalm, we see the defeat of the enemy at the hand of the Lord. And the Lord can clear every obstacle that stands in our way, every foe that we face, and every storm that may rise up along our pilgrim path. Samuel Whitlock Gandy penned the words, "What though the accuser roar? Of ills that I have done, I know them well, and thousands more, Jehovah findeth none." Sin, Satan, death appear to harass and appall. Yet since the gracious Lord is near, backward they go and fall. The words of the first verse of this chapter say, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." O friends, today, the Lord hath triumphed gloriously over Satan, over death, over sin, over the grave. And he has brought us into everlasting life, into that covenant relationship with him. And praise be his name. From verse 3 to verse 12, we read of the mighty victory over the enemy, the same enemy that thought by his own strength he could thwart the purposes of the Lord Jehovah. Praise his name. The enemy has been trodden underfoot by the redeeming work of the Lord. And through the shedding of blood, the way of salvation was opened. Believer, the Passover lamb, as we know, is a shadow or a type of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer upon Calvary's cross. Through his death and the shedding of his blood, atonement was made for you and I. The grip of Satan upon our life was defeated, and a way opened by which we can enter into eternal rest, into the promised land, with our risen Lord in glory. The problem of our captivity and sin has been overcome. Praise be his name. But not only was there a problem overcome, I want us also to notice that there was a provision made. There was a provision made. In the following verses, we see that the provision of God for his people and redemption are inextricably linked. In verse 2, we read, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." In verse 13, Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Moses sings of the loving kindness of the Lord. It is the source of their redemption. Redemption, you see, focuses upon God's love. For God sent his only begotten Son to die as our substitute upon Calvary's cross. The Egyptians, we are told in verse 12, were swallowed up. But in verse 13, we see that the source of the salvation or the redemption of Israel is in God's mercy. This word mercy is taken from the Hebrew root, which is often translated to speak of his everlasting love or his unfailing love, sometimes his loving kindness, sometimes of his covenant love. It speaks of a love of God which is incomparable with any other love that we can picture. It speaks of the Lord as he redeems his people as if he were their kinsman redeemer. It is God's unfailing covenant love for his people. The reality of that love is fleshed out in the rest of verse 13. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The Hebrew word guided speaks of the Lord leading his people like a shepherd. It is translated in the 23rd Psalm there in verse 2. As leadeth, he leadeth me beside the still waters. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11, the word you is used again, and there we read that it speaks of the Lord gently leading those that are with young. Yes, he guides his people by his strength, but he leads them on in tenderness and care to their dwelling place. First to Mount Sinai, where he meets them with them, and eventually to Zion itself and the promised land. And we could look at the symbolic language here if we had time, but we must move on. God's covenant love is the sole source, the sole reason for the salvation of his people. His love is unfailing commitment to his promises and to show his goodness to his people. In verses 17 and 18, we see the kingship of the Lord asserted, and Moses makes it clear that the Lord himself is king. The Lord himself is king. We read there in verses 17 and 18, Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for them to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. In the work of redemption, the kingship of the Lord is manifest. The Lord bringing the children of Israel into the land and granting them their inheritance. Notice that God in his provision through salvation just doesn't bring us out of sin and slavery. He also brings us into his presence and into his marvelous kingdom of light. It is not simply his will to separate us from sin, but to unite us to himself, that we may partake of his blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there is always that twofold aspect of redemption, being brought out of sin and out of this world and brought into his kingdom, into holiness and fellowship with our Lord and our Saviour. In verse 18, Moses asserts that the Lord reigns, and his reign is unending. Excuse me. Even that same Lord that is spoken of throughout this song, and to whom everything is ascribed, and who is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who saves, it is he who keeps, it is he who leads his people home, and it is he who reigns over us. He is our Lord, and we are his people. So we have seen the problem overcome and the provision made. Let us look in closing at the praise that is offered. The praise that is offered. The song in its entirety is a song of redemption, as we have noted. That is, the purchasing of one's freedom by another. The Lord wrought the work of redemption for the children of Israel by the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb and defeating the great enemy of his people. And so Christ purchased our freedom, dear believer, by the shedding of his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary, and by his resurrection, defeating death in the grave, and through his ascension into glory, where he ever lives to intercede for his people. In verses 1 to 6, Moses' emphasis is that the Lord alone is Redeemer and God. And my friend, redemption ought to move us to praise in the same way that it did for the children of Israel. This is the first recorded song in the scriptures, and it is sung by the redeemed to the Redeemer about redemption. This is an informative guide for our own worship. In this song, Moses, far from being the subject of adoration or an object of admiration, becomes the chief worshipper. He is deflecting any attention away from himself, and he is focusing that attention on the one who is the true source of deliverance. That is the Lord God. Worship is about the Lord and his mercy and his grace towards us. Sadly, that's a message that is often lost in so many modern songs or hymns. The song that we have here focuses our attention solely upon the Lord and his redeeming work. The reason that we gather as God's people is to worship the living God. He is the source of our deliverance and our redemption. He alone is the Redeemer. He alone is the Lord. He alone is our God. And all this, as it did with the children of Israel and with Moses, should prompt us to praise his name. Well, the people cannot but sing to the Lord because of who he is and what he has done. But friends, how much greater should our response be as God's people because of his love for us, because of his so great salvation, because he has redeemed us by his precious blood. Our redemption is accomplished by him alone. Our salvation is entirely from him alone. His guiding is sure, and he will never fail us. And he will bring us safely to the promised land of eternal rest in his presence. Dear friends, as we bring our time to a close today, we have seen the problem overcome. We have seen the provision made and the praise offered. Let us remember that God cares about his people. He has not left us lost and alone. Rather, he has saved us from the snare of the enemy. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, and he guides us as our great shepherd. There is no story like the gospel. There is no reality like the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it must provoke our praise. Friends, we may be separated one from the other today. We cannot meet around God's word in the way which we so much desire. The Lord has put a new song in our hearts, even our God to magnify. This is the sole purpose of redemption: to bring glory and honour and praise to his glorious name. Dear believer, let us lift our voices to our Redeemer. Let us praise his glorious name today. But can I ask, dear friend, perhaps you're sitting listening in and you can't sing of this so great salvation from sin. You've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Saviour. You know nothing of his redeeming power. You know nothing of the forgiveness of your sin. Well, today, the Lord can put a new song in your mouth. You can know the assurance of sins forgiven if you'll only come to Christ in repentance, confessing that you are a sinner and you deserve nothing less than the justice and wrath of God, but acknowledging that Christ came to die in your place and to save you from your sin. Oh, will you not trust in him today? Will you not rest completely upon him? Oh, today that you would know the song of the redeemed, that you would be able to sing the song of the redeemed. Perhaps there's one who's backslidden. But will you not return to the Saviour? Will you not know once again his restoring power? Then you will be able to sing with joy and freshness in your heart the song of the redeemed. Exodus 15, verse 1 and 2. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength, and so he has become my salvation. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy words to us this morning. Lord, we thank thee again that we have been reminded of Christ, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and our Lord. Lord, we thank thee that we have been reminded that thou dost love us with an everlasting love. Lord, we cannot fathom the depths of that love. But Lord, we lift our hearts in praise to thee this morning. Lord, we say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Lord, we pray that thou would lead us on with thyself. Lord, as the voice of man grows silent, Lord, we pray that thy voice would speak on. For in Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.